You know, discipleship is a huge subject, and we're going to cover it off in 2 weeks. So what I would suggest we do is we're going to take a look at one aspect of it this morning and then the other aspect of it tonight, which leads me to a question. How many people come out at night? Okay, here's the deal. If you're a parent and you got kids, bring them out, okay? Because I'm going to have a special message for kids tonight. Do I have a commitment? Or are you going to hide behind the pews and say, it's cold out? Let's try and get as many people out tonight, because I would like to talk about discipleship as it relates to everybody, not just adults, but everybody. We're going to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, our example today. Because as it relates to discipleship, the first thing we think about are the 12 disciples. One of them had problems. The other 11 were okay. But we always think about those 12 men who followed the Lord Jesus around, and we call them disciples. And so the definition that we have for disciples in our minds is people that follow Jesus. But you know, it's a lot more than that. The ones who are true disciples are the ones who not only follow the Lord Jesus Christ, but are intimately related to the Lord Jesus Christ through faith, and also share the ultimate responsibility for the plan that God has set out, and seek in their own lives to do those things that Christ left us to do. That's what a true disciple is. It's not just following the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go back to the New Testament and read about all the people that followed the Lord Jesus Christ, there were multitudes that followed him, but they were just like puppy dogs, hoping for a handout, hoping to see him do something that was special, a miracle. Not everybody who followed Christ was a disciple. And not everybody who is interested in the Lord Jesus Christ today in knowing about him is a disciple. And so the challenge to our hearts that we're going to have this morning is we're going to look at the Lord Jesus Christ as our example as to what he did when he was here on earth and left us the example so that when he went back to glory, he left us with specific things to do and left us with specific instructions how to do them and left us not only to do them, but with the authority to do them as energized by the Spirit of God. I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 21. And she, Mary, will bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In this verse, embedded in the very name of the Lord Jesus Christ, is his mission. The Lord Jesus Christ came to earth with a specific mission that fell into the grand plan that God had designed back in eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ came here, and as we have in John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life." And if we could look at the total plan in that verse, what we have is three aspects of it that Christ had a mission and a responsibility to do. And it's all wrapped up in this one statement that he did the will of God, did the will of his Father. The only thing that Christ did here, if you could wrap it up in one thing, was he did the will of his Father. And so here we have, God loved the world, he gave his Son, and the reason was that everybody in the world could be saved. Now, if you take a look at how the Lord Jesus viewed it, let's turn to John chapter 6 for a second. We're going to flip to a few verses, and then we're going to talk about what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished here on earth. John chapter 6, And we're going to look at verse 38. And this is the Lord Jesus speaking. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. That was the whole mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what an example and what a lesson for us. As we are walking our Christian life down here, we can always look back to the scripture and get examples from the Lord Jesus Christ in his life as to how we should live our lives. See, God designed the plan. The Lord Jesus Christ carried it out and accomplished everything that God asked him to do. In fact, if you go to John chapter 17, in the first few verses, he said to his father when he was praying to him, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And I take a look at ourselves and I say, what a challenge that is. First of all, how many of us really know what our mission is in life? It took me a long time to figure out what I wanted to be when I grow up. And here I growed up and I don't know whether I picked the right thing. That's the way we are. What is your mission in life? How is it that you relate to the Lord Jesus Christ? And do you have clear signals from God himself as to what you can do in your life to glorify God and to further his work according to his will? And we're going to talk more about that tonight. But here we have the Lord Jesus Christ saying, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And what is it that the Lord Jesus Christ came to accomplish? The Lord Jesus Christ, his name is Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. And we could talk for 2 or 3 hours just on that alone. Just think about what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do and why he came to do it. He looked down at this earth and saw that everyone was dead in trespasses and sins. He saw that there was absolutely nothing that anybody could do for themselves that would gain entry into heaven for eternity. It's impossible that sin would enter into heaven. And God knew this. And so God, in his love towards you and me, sent his son to come down to this earth to be born and to live his 33 and change years and then go to the cross and endure the punishment that God had against sin and to do it in our stead. The Lord Jesus Christ knew that when he took the form of that baby and grew up, his ultimate destiny was the cross. Not one of us know what that's all about. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, in love to you and me, went to the cross of Calvary. He knew that he was going to suffer. He knew that he was going to endure judgment that was beyond all judgments. And yet he did it for one reason. Because he loved you and he loved me. And when he went back up to heaven, after the work was accomplished there at the cross, he ascended back up to heaven and he left his disciples with instructions as to what they were supposed to do. And what were they supposed to do? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. In fact, we're going to talk about what the will of God is. You know what the will of God is? That all men should be saved? But there's more to it. And come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, there's a balance. Not only does God save people, but he brings them to the knowledge of the truth so that they can grow spiritually and learn to love the Lord Jesus Christ and learn to honor the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. So let's talk about the Lord Jesus for a second. I want to turn back to John chapter 4. And we're going to see an example that the Lord Jesus Christ leaves us as he interfaces with the woman at the well. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but we're just going to pick out a few verses. It says in verse 6 of John chapter 4, "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus in the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me to drink." And then we go on, and we see how the Lord speaks to her. And in verse 12, she says, "Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself and his children?" And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And the woman said unto him, "Sir, give me this water." Here the Lord meets this woman. And there's two things. The Lord is experiencing the same thing that we experienced. He was tired. You see, if you look in Hebrews chapter 4, it says that the Lord Jesus Christ was tested or tempted in all things such as we are, and yet he did not sin. And so he could relate right to that woman. He was tired and he was thirsty. And he says to her, "Give me to drink." And she says, "The well's deep. You can't draw." And so she draws it for him. And immediately he uses that water to touch her heart. And he says to her, "You drink this water, you're going to thirst again. But the water that I can give you will be in you a well of water springing up to everlasting life." And what was her response? "Give me that water." That's the gospel in a nutshell. The Lord Jesus Christ had a mission to reach people. And so he reached her right to her very heart. And there was a response in her heart. "Give me that water." Then we go on in the chapter and we see how he says to her, she says to him, "Woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." And so on. You see, he takes it that step further. And he teaches her about worship and where true worship is. And we know the ultimate result of this. He touches her heart when he asks about her husband. And the ultimate result of that visit of the Lord Jesus Christ to the well was that the whole town was affected, because she went back and told everybody about him. What an example that we have. But in the middle of this, his disciples come back and they say to him, "You gotta eat." And so I'd like to take a look at verse 34. Jesus said to his disciples, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." You see, everything that the Lord Jesus Christ did and everything that the Lord Jesus Christ thought was in perfect tune with his Father which was in heaven, and he considered it his sustenance to do the will of his Father by saying to his disciple, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work." So in this whole grand scheme of things, the Lord Jesus Christ was focused on what he was supposed to do. And so what is it that he accomplished? He said he was focused on redemption. He was focused on going to the cross to settle the sin question. And he was focused on fulfilling every prophecy that was in the scripture that was written about him as inspired by the Spirit of God. And not only that, when he left us with a responsibility of going out into all the world and to preach the gospel so that the body of Christ could grow. And we're going to talk tonight about how we fit into that body of Christ and what it is to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to just go over to Ephesians for a second. Ephesians chapter 4. I'd like to read one verse. Let's start with verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I know it's a strange verse to read in the middle of talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and His work, but we need to understand our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in order to know how we can effectively work in communion with the Lord Jesus Christ and God Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ, the example is that everything He did was in perfect tune with His Father. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't a disciple, but the Lord Jesus Christ left an example as to how disciples should live. And so in order for us to understand how we can interface with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to understand the relationship that we have. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, something happened. God not only saw that the question of sin was totally settled at the cross of Calvary, and that sin was totally eradicated, but the effect of that was that we would have redemption, and we would enter into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that is intimate, and it is close. And I don't know how much you realize how close you are to the Lord Jesus Christ when you accept Him as your Savior. Just go back to the time when you accepted Christ, if you have. What took place? I can tell you about myself, and I will. I was in grade 6, and I accepted Christ as my Savior, and I won't tell you the experience, but I'll tell you what I did do. I knelt down beside my bed, and I recognized that the sins that were in my life were barring me from heaven. And that the only way that I could get rid of those sins was by accepting Christ as my Savior. And I told the Lord Jesus Christ that I was sorry for the sins that I had committed. And on the faith of what it says in Scripture, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so based on that faith of knowing that Christ completed the work that God gave Him to do at the cross of Calvary, my sins are gone. And the same thing can happen in your life too. Your sins can be gone. And many of you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior and your sins are gone. But what does that mean? The minute you accept Christ as your Savior, a miracle happens. I don't know if you realize this, but a miracle happens. Here's the miracle. God takes all those sins and He wipes them out. And then He gives you a new life. The Spirit of God comes and indwells your heart. And you become a new person with a new life. And you know what that life is? It's the same life that the Lord Jesus Christ has. And to me, that's just the most amazing thought of anything. To think that I as an individual and you as an individual, when you accept Christ, have the same life that the Lord Jesus Christ has, that will go on living in heaven forever. And so what does that do? You become a new creature in Christ, and you become part of God's body here on this earth. And each one of us who know Christ as our Savior are bound up in that one body because we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it says in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto Him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, the measure of every part maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In other words, each one of us become part of the body of Christ. Now, if you take a look at a body, it's not all one part. It's many parts. If you know Christ as your Savior, you have the same mission that the Lord Jesus Christ had as it relates to the gospel and the church and the body of Christ. And so what is it to be a disciple? A disciple is someone who recognizes their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and someone who recognizes the mission that God has in this world and makes a commitment that not only will they follow Christ, but they will try to carry out the work that God has designed for this world. And you know, if we look at the beginning of Ephesians, we'll see that the church of God is a building that is fitly framed together and it's growing. And how is it growing? You know, I heard a conversation that was related to Billy Graham in his crusades. And so someone said, you know, Billy Graham, you've had so many crusades and there's so many people that have been saved and there's so many missionaries out there who are spreading the gospel around the world and people are getting saved and people are coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said to him, how did you do it? And he said, one person at a time. And that's what this is all about. Not only are individuals being brought into the church of God with a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, one person at a time, but God is looking down and seeing this whole thing building. And when it's complete, something's going to happen. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to give the shout. And everyone who knows Christ as their own personal Savior is going to be caught up into heaven. And we're going to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'd like to just make a few points about the Lord Jesus Christ that are examples to us as to how we should live. First of all, if you look about at the Lord Jesus Christ as it relates to his mission for his Father, one thing that he said to his mother when he was about 12 years old, he said to her, know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? You remember that? In other words, what he was saying to her was, I've got a job to do, and I'm going to do it. And so the Lord was focused on being about his Father's business. The challenge is, do we have the same focus, the same desire, the same drive to be about the business of God? What's another thing? If you see what the Lord Jesus Christ, the example that he left as he related to people, there wasn't one person that the Lord Jesus Christ turned aside. He loved everybody. And so that woman that came up behind him and touched the hem of his garment, he turned around to her and said, who touched me? He loved her. And yet that whole multitude that was there, she was still an individual in spite of that whole multitude that was thronging him. And yet that 5,000 that he fed, it said he looked over them all and he had compassion on them. The Lord Jesus Christ had a passion for people. And I would suggest that as we look at the example of what he did in his life as it relates to us in our lives, is we need to have a compassion for people. And here's a challenge that I'll throw out to you right now. You know everybody that goes to this chapel. You know them by name, most likely. I don't. But the challenge is, do you know them, or can you honestly say in your heart, I love everybody that comes to this chapel? You know, we need to have something in another individual to draw our love out. Isn't that the truth? The Lord Jesus Christ loves because it's his nature to love. And it says in 1 John chapter 4, God is love. It's his nature. I would challenge you to look around at everybody in this chapel sometime. And I've done this back at Woodside, where you look down the rows and you look at each individual and you say, you ask yourself, do I love that individual? I would challenge you to do that. Because if you can say, I love that other person, that means that there's divine love in your heart that is flowing out. And it's an important thing, because without passion for people, his work will not get accomplished effectively. And of course, we've talked about this. The Lord Jesus Christ left an example. Well, what is it that the Lord Jesus Christ left us? I'd like to just turn for a second, because this is really going to touch our hearts. Go to 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. The point I'm raising here is that as we interface with people, and the Lord loved everybody, and he made everybody feel important as an individual and interfaced with them, the Lord was falsely accused. In carrying out his work that God had given him to do, he was falsely accused. And when that happened, what does it say in Matthew? He didn't open his mouth. Insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. The point I'm making to you is this, that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was not a contentious person. And one thing that he did do was that he never gave up. He never gave up. He kept pressing forward, and any of that false accusation he left with God, as it says here in this verse, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. If you're involved in the work of the Lord in any way, if you're seeking to carry out those things which God wants you to do, and you know exactly what God wants you to do, the example that is left here is, don't give up, press on, continue to do what you're doing, and then just leave all of the criticism with God himself, because ultimately, God will judge, and it will all be set right in eternity. We have such a wonderful Savior. If the Lord Jesus Christ reacted the way I do sometimes and was cantankerous, do you know we would not be saved today? The Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly what he was doing, and he could say to his Father, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. The last thing is, let's go to Matthew, the last chapter of Matthew. And then we'll talk tonight about being a true disciple. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you to do. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. The instruction that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his disciples was that when he was gone, they were going to carry on doing what he wanted them to do. And one of the things was that they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, we were a little late this morning, and we walked into the vestibule at the back, and there was I saw the bulletin board with everybody's names on the back all around the world. And I know this chapel is very involved in CMML and the efforts of the missionaries out in the world. And that's one aspect of what the Lord is telling his disciples to do here. But you know, the Lord just didn't tell them to go out and preach the gospel. He gave them the authority to do that and gave them the authority to baptize. And what was that authority that he gave them to do, that he gave them? The authority was that they were to do so in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. So here they have the support of the whole Trinity behind them in doing what they need to do. But before he did so, when they come to the end of this chapter, he's able to send them on their way because now they have spent 3.5 years with the supreme example. And as we carry on our lives, let's take a look back at the scripture and see that we have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ in what we can do as disciples of him. So tonight we will talk about discipleship and how we can fit in. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Our blessed God and Father, thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came to this earth with a specific mission and a specific purpose, and that was to save us from our sins. Lord Jesus, thank you for the relationship that we have because of all that you accomplished at the cross of Calvary. We have been saved, and our sins are gone because you shed your blood there at the cross of Calvary. Lord, thank you. And we just pray that you would challenge our hearts as we consider what we can do for you as it relates to your will. We leave ourselves in your hands for a blessing, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.